The Obama administration is not commenting on any of those machinations, but they certainly did take place. And just about everybody who you would talk to who knows anything about how this would work out will tell you that almost 100% likely that a deal was agreed upon by the time Mr. Clinton touched down in Pyongyang. He would not have gone there without that in place already. So, yes, a lot of machinery was in the works before he left. The deal may very well have been finalized before he left. The North Koreans wanted to talk to him. They, you know, one former top negotiator who we spoke with, Robert Gallucci, he dealt with the North Koreans during the 1994 nuclear crisis. He said, however, that you can't ever rule out that the North Koreans might throw a wrench into the process at the very last minute and ask for something. But apparently, things went fairly smoothly, but most of this was, in fact, worked out before Mr. Clinton left.
So all they wanted was for Bill Clinton to stop by for a visit? Really?
Well, I mean, you know, we still are going to get more intelligence and more information about what was discussed in Mr. Clinton's meetings with Kim Jong-il. It's probably, I would guess it's a little more than just, you know, what we saw on the surface of just, yeah, if you take a photo op with me, I'll release these two women. Although, you know, the importance for Kim Jong-il of this visit by Mr. Clinton cannot be overstated. He is, you know, he's not in good health. There are questions about how long he's going to hang on to power. Mr. Kim's succession is in question because it's not clear whether succession would be passed on to one of his sons or possibly a member of the North Korean military. So there are a lot of internal battles going on at home in North Korea. Mr. Kim really needed to kind of solidify his stature as a leader. This certainly helped him in that regard. So this, in and of itself, is a real feather in his cap, just being seen with Bill Clinton. We're told by two people who are familiar with the long history of the relationship between the U.S. and North Korea, such as it wasn't much of a relationship, but talks have been on and off for about 16 years now. We're told that Kim Jong-il had actually wanted Bill Clinton to come to Pyongyang for some time, at least as far back as 2000. We talked to Bill Richardson on the air. We also spoke to Jack Pritchard, who's a former top U.S. negotiator with North Korea. Jack Pritchard told me that Kim Jong-il, back in 2000, when Mr. Pritchard and the delegation led by Madeleine Albright went to Pyongyang, that Kim Jong-il had asked for Bill Clinton to come back then. So this certainly was in Kim Jong-il's mind for quite some time.
And it looked, when you look at the pictures, these two men could not look more uncomfortable.
The body language is fascinating. And then when I spoke to Mr. Gallucci yesterday, he said, look at the body language essentially in these pictures. Kim Jong-il in some of them is smiling ear to ear. Bill Clinton is standing there very stoic and not smiling. He said that, you know, this is all calculated on both their parts. For Kim Jong-il, you know, he looks ecstatic. He is ecstatic. This is... you know, his moment to shine, essentially. This is him telling his countrymen, look at the stature that I now have, that this president, this former president, has come to me to broker this deal. Bill Clinton, on the other hand, according to Robert Gallucci, he said he cannot look to be too pleased. You can't put on a smile. You cannot signal that you approve of this regime. You cannot signal that you're here to do anything but business. So it's very important for Mr. Clinton in those instances to be very stoic and not smile. It's fascinating. They have to handle body language and very little things very carefully.
And I can't help but wonder the reaction from these two journalists. I can't imagine what must have been going through their minds.
Well, one of them even alluded to that after they got off the plane this morning in California. They one of them said, you know, we were told we were going from our holding area to a meeting, and then we get into one room and they open the door and there's Bill Clinton, and I knew I was home safe. I mean, just that description in and of itself. I mean, what an ego boost to Mr. Clinton to hear that. But you know, it is a very dramatic situation. It was dramatic from the get-go. I mean, just the whole nature of it. Him arriving there in a surprise, unannounced visit. At least it was a surprise to all of us. It certainly wasn't a surprise to the Obama administration or to anyone who was involved in this. We spoke to Bill Cohen, the former defense secretary, who told us kind of what it takes to do something like this. It takes weeks of maneuvers, of back-channel talks, of the machinery of government all kind of being aligned and getting going to get these two people out of there. It is a huge effort.
And what do they have to go through now, those journalists? Are they going to be debriefed? Do they have to sit down with intelligence officials? What happens to them now?
They'll very likely be questioned by U.S. intelligence. I mean, it would be silly not to when you think of it. I mean, just to get some detail on, you know, where some of the prisons might be, just what the details of captivity are, what some officials might have said to them, how they were interrogated. You'd have to talk to them about that. Mr. Clinton will be debriefed by members of the administration. Now, as far as the reintegration process, this is maybe the tough part coming up for these women. They've been in captivity for at least a few months now. They've got to reintegrate with their families. They've got to reintegrate with society. We spoke to someone who represents the three Americans who were held hostage in Colombia for 5 years. It's fascinating what they went through. They had to be reintegrated very slowly. I mean, they were held for 5 years, so it's a different situation. But, you know, they just here's a little nugget. When they were first reunited with their families, the team of Army psychiatrists and others who kind of oversaw all this only let them have about 20 minutes with their families at first, when they were first reunited, because it was just too overwhelming an experience. You know, at first these hostages were upset with that, but looking back, they all say that was the right way to do it. Everything was just too overwhelming. Another little nugget, we're told that when these hostages from Colombia were first kind of had first touched down the first day back, it took them about an hour to choose a meal to eat because just the decision-making and the information available was just so overwhelming to them. Now, can you imagine when you're going through something like that, how tough it is to reintegrate with everything in your life, your family, your work, going to the grocery store? This is where the tough part begins for these women.